More of the first quarter on the voice of the Central New York sports fan, The Score 1260.
Tom Goslowski with you, and starting off hour number two, we go to the phone lines. He writes for the Hockey Writers, also for Forbes Sports Money. Mike Colligan joins us. Mike, welcome back to the airwaves of Central New York. Thanks for taking the time with us again this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me, Tom.
And we'll start with Rick Nash. Going back to the Islanders game, he may have scored the final goal in the rivalry in the Nassau Coliseum as the Rangers picked up the win 3-2 on Tuesday night. Is Rick Nash the leader now for the Hart Trophy?
Oh, that's a great question and one that's very difficult. You know, there's some great performances in the NHL right now, and I think Nash is certainly one of them, and especially when you look at the way that he's been able to bounce back. A very disappointing season last year for the Rangers, and I think many Ranger fans were trying to figure out why they spent so much to acquire him via trade a few years ago, and now he's finally proving himself and getting comfortable there in Manhattan. And I think what was more interesting for me in that game is we finally now can say that there is really a rivalry between the Rangers and the Islanders again. And as the Islanders are preparing their move to Brooklyn next year, we're seeing two very, very good teams in the Eastern Conference, two of the top teams, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see them kind of facing off in an Eastern Conference final battle. And as a fan of the National Hockey League, as a resident of New York, I'm sure that a lot of people can get behind that and the excitement that could potentially come from that kind of a rivalry facing off in the playoffs.
Absolutely. New York fans would be fired up for that. And the Rangers pick up the win over the Capitals yesterday. They now lead the Metro Division and have the best record overall in the NHL. What makes this New York Rangers team suff a difficult matchup for other teams in the league?
Well, they've been very good. You date back to last year. They were a team that had fired their head coach, brought in a new head coach in Alain Vigneault, and got off to actually a very bad start last year. A number of games on the road, just couldn't get things going, and it takes time to adjust to a new coach and a new system. But by the end of the year, they were really clicking on all cylinders. They were a team that made it to the Stanley Cup final, came up a little bit short, but you could see that this is a team that's really in their window right now. This is not going to get any better for the New York Rangers. And I think at this point they realize that they've got a lot of players that are kind of in their primes or running towards the end of their career, and it's time to really make one last chance with this group. And I think what we saw this year was that's exactly what the Rangers are doing. They went all in at the trade deadline, acquired one of the leading defensemen in the National Hockey League, a guy that doesn't get much attention because he was playing out in Arizona, Keith Yandle, but a guy that's really good. And you add him to a defensive group that I think was already one of the best in the National Hockey League. And now you're looking at a Rangers team that I think is probably the best in the East and one of the best in the National Hockey League right now. And so they've got six defensemen that would be top-pairing defensemen on just about any team in the league. And so when you say that, combined with Henrik Lundqvist, one of the best in the league in goaltending, this is a team that's going to be very tough to beat.
And you bring up King Henrik there. They're doing it without him right now. Any word on when he could be back in net for the Blue Shirts?
They're taking it, you know, day by day. He's starting to get back onto the ice and get some time. And I think that's the thing is they've got a very talented backup goaltender in Cam Talbot, a guy who's played very well for them when he's needed to step in. And I think so they feel comfortable. They don't have to rush Lundqvist back from what was a concerning injury after taking a puck to the neck. There was concerns he could have some serious health problems from that if he continued to play, so they shut him down for a while. But the plan is to get him back and healthy for the playoffs, and I think once you do that and you add him into, again, what I think is a very deep and talented Rangers team, it's going to be tough for anyone to beat them.
And on the opposite side, they did defeat the Washington Capitals, but the Washington Capitals, they're an interesting team. They're the biggest team overall in the NHL. They're around the average weight of the Capitals. It's the heaviest in all the league. But this heavy style of playing, it's kind of similar to what we've seen in the past few years with the Los Angeles Kings that won the Stanley Cup. If you get in a matchup, a seven-game set with Washington and Alexander Ovechkin, is that still a difficult matchup? And could you still see the Capitals maybe getting all the way to the conference finals?
Absolutely, and I think that's a good observation. Is really the league has taken an interesting step. You used to see where someone would win the Stanley Cup and everyone would just kind of imitate over the next few years. So if a big team won the Cup, everyone would want to be big, and all of a sudden you'd see all the big free agents would be big, when I mean height and weight wise, they'd be getting all the money, all the attention. But you're seeing teams take different approaches in this era of the NHL. The Capitals are a very heavy and big team, like you said. Someone like the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Montreal Canadiens are a little bit smaller, much quicker, a lot more speed, and they play that type of game and use their speed to intimidate opponents. So it's interesting when you see these contrasting styles go head to head, but I think you're exactly right on if you're looking for a team like the Los Angeles Kings last year, and they've won the multiple Stanley Cups now with how big and strong they are, the Capitals are building that way, and they've brought in a new head coach that's a lot more defensively oriented, defensively focused, and they're getting some great goaltending as well. So the way the new NHL playoffs are over the last year or two here is they've now aligned it by division. So you essentially have to come out of your division in order to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so with the division set up right now, Washington and the New York Rangers and even the New York Islanders are all in the same metropolitan division. So not all of them can make it. Only one can come out to that Eastern Conference Finals, and that would be certainly a disappointment for some of these very good teams we just discussed.
He writes for the Hockey Writers, also covers the NHL for Forbes Sports Money. Mike Colligan joins us on the phone lines. And overall, I've heard some criticism that it's been a low-scoring season in the NHL, and the stats show that the number of power play opportunities for teams is way down from previous years. But isn't this more of the game overall evolving from the past 15 years because of less brawlers on the ice and more of just pure athletes that are taking over the NHL?
Definitely true. I think that's a great point, and the game has certainly evolved in that way. And when the NHL went through a lockout about 10 years ago, they came out of that and they realized that fans were kind of disengaged with the way that the league was playing the game. There was a lot of just holding and hooking and tripping, and you could do just about anything you wanted out there short of murder, it seemed, some nights. And so I think the league made an active choice to make the game a little bit more open, more driven on skill, and so they called the penalties a lot more than they used to. And anytime you grabbed a guy with a free hand, you were going to get a 2-minute penalty for holding. And I think that has dwindled a bit since then over the last decade or so here. But I think you're exactly right, is the game is evolving. And not only what you mentioned, but even goaltenders. Goaltenders are much better. And so while scoring is down, it's not necessarily one element. But I think as the goaltenders improve and as the style of hockey gets better and as teams get smarter defensively, you know, we see this in the NFL constantly, where the league is trying to kind of stay ahead of head coaches that are developing better and better defensive schemes, and they certainly give the advantage to the offense in most aspects. The NHL is trying to do the same thing, find ways to make sure that scoring still stays at a high level and there's still an entertaining product on the ice, but I think you're always going to see teams finding ways to shut down a lot of these high-power offenses.
And you bring up goaltenders. I'll give you this, an old true or false statement, the old SAT style. True or false, Montreal's Carey Price is the most important player for any playoff contender in the NHL.
I think that's true. I think that's very true, actually. And when you mentioned Rick Nash for the Hart Trophy, that was the one name I thought of that's going to be tough for me to argue against, is Carey Price and the importance that he has. And when you think of the Hart Trophy as being most valuable player, Carey Price is most valuable for the Montreal Canadiens and where they stand. They're a team that's on the rise, and I think we're going to be hearing about them plenty over the next few years here, but a big reason for that also is the play of Carey Price, the elite level that he's been at. And he's a guy that was highly regarded a number of years ago as he was coming up into the Montreal system and starting to make his way into the NHL. And he got off to a slow start, and it's difficult. The Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's like the New York Yankees and of the National Hockey League. And with all that media attention, it can be tough for a young guy that's so highly regarded to come in and just not take the league by storm. So there were a lot of tough questions. And he's a guy that I think is perfect for a media market like that. He has the poise and composure to handle the pressure. He never seems to be flappable in any way or under pressure because of that, and certainly that carries over to his play on the ice. And I think we're finally this year seeing him scratch the surface of what his potential is. And right now, I think, bar none, the number one goaltender in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, we'll get you out of here on this. I got to ask you a Pittsburgh Penguin question, of course. No doubt to the Penguins. Smoke the Oilers tonight?
I think that's fair. The Edmonton Oilers, it's an interesting team, but it took a number of number one picks repeatedly, but just hasn't been able to put it together. And unfortunately, in the NHL, I think you have to take advantage of those young years where you've got rookies on cost-controlled contracts. And while they have so much talent, we know that in sports, talent doesn't always win. And without the team chemistry and the team identity there, they just really haven't been able to put it together. So another frustrating season for the Edmonton Oilers.
It's an exciting morning for New York State hockey fans. The New York Rangers wake up, and they have the best record in all the NHL. And thanks again to Mike Colligan, the hockey writers. He covers the NHL for Forbes Sports Money. Mike, thanks again for the time. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Anytime.